Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. On this Wednesday, he's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Hey, don't miss Smashville Live tonight. Brewhouse 100 out in Bellevue, 6 o'clock. Ryan O'Reilly, the Factor, will be there for the entire hour. We'll be with Max and Hal Gill at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue starting at 6, so go check that out. All right. You have the floor, sir.
All right. So, the draft coming up in 2 months. We'll still talk ad nauseum about all that. But I was thinking today, this Abdul Carter talk's getting more and more. And
there is a – real quick, the latest mock draft on NFL.com, Daniel Jeremiah has the Titans taking him number one overall.
All right. So, Titans fans, let me ask you this. At the end of the first two rounds, would you be happy with Abdul Carter – and Jalen Milroe as your quarterback? Milroe's getting a lot of positive talk right now. Would you be happy with Abdul Carter and Jalen Milroe right now? And I'm curious why you would be or why you would not be with this. I think Milroe is an intriguing guy. And the only argument I keep hearing is like, well, Bama quarterbacks in the NFL. I understand that talk. I mean, I go back to Richard Todd in the mid-'80s with the Jets with that talk as well, right? But don't put that on him. I mean, the guy is a force, and he's got a good arm, and he ran the offense. When he ran it well, it ran well. He made mistakes. I get all that. I'm just curious what you would think if Jalen Milroe is your quarterback pick in the second round.
You know what my answer to that is? Sign me up right now.
See, I am too.
Here's why. And you may hear that and go, oh, I mean, Jalen Milroe and Will Levis, that's your competition. The reason that I would sign up for this is based on this comment from yesterday.
I don't think that will depend. I don't think those will go hand in hand. We could sign a quarterback in free agency and also draft a quarterback as well.
There you go. Because I think that would be the perfect scenario of they're like, let's help our pass rush. Let's go get this game wrecker of a pass rusher, which I think Carter's going to be.
Okay.
And let's say they've signed Russell Wilson or, whoever in free agency and then still draft Milroe and have, a true competition behind the veteran, between Milroe and Levis. And then maybe you trade Levis. Maybe you kind of got it figured out and you trade Levis and get something for him during the draft weekend. But – sign me up. I'd be fine with that.
Am I mistaken? There's only one quarterback on the roster, right? Will Levis?
Will Levis is the only one on the roster right now.
So you draft a Milroe, and then you sign the veteran to come in. I have nothing wrong watching those three.
And I just use Russell as an example.
That's fine.
I don't want Russell Wilson.
Fine. If they bring him in, that's great. But I'm on board with this. And call me nuts. Man, I don't know why.
I don't think you're nuts for that. I mean, because here's why. Because you're getting Carter. You're getting Abdul Carter, who I know you're a little worried about the size.
Right.
I think he's a game wrecker. Like, I'm thinking Micah Parsons, like, he's going to be that dude. I should have flagged this yesterday. I saw an article on him basically saying he could be to the Titans what Javon Kearse was, but longer. Like, if he doesn't get hurt, he could have more longevity.
Who's writing that?
I don't know. I mean, but
was that A to Z?
I don't think it might have been. I don't know. But here's the thing: you didn't know Javon Kearse was going to be that until he was.
That's a good point. You're right.
No. If you could, that's the question for Titans fans. If I could tell you that you're going to get Javon Kearse 2.0, you'd sign up today, wouldn't you?
But is that an unfair on him? Totally unfair.
Yeah, I mean, comparisons in general are unfair, but that's what we do.
All right, so let me ask you this.
Because you have said he's one of the most important players of all time for the Titans.
Oh, he's not on that 99 team. They're 8-8.
Yeah.
They ain't going to the playoff. They ain't not going to the Super Bowl. The Music City Miracle doesn't happen. All right, what this scenario? All right, so I'm happy with Milroe and Carter. I got a feeling, and this is crazy, but reading all the stuff that we read, somehow Vegas is going to make their way to number one. Because I think they want number one. Would you be happy? Let me ask you this. Raiders and Titans flip-flop. I think they're fifth, right?
Six.
And they give the Titans Max Crosby.
+6.
+6, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You give me a third-round pick, too?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do it.
In a second.
Heartbeat.
In a
heartbeat.
Second.
Yep, I would. I'd do it. Do what?
I would take
Max. Oh, D-May said it yesterday about Javon. But I read it on something, too. Okay. Do you have the clip? Okay, here was D-May's.
Other than the quarterback, I think a defensive end, you get you a stud defensive end like many believe Abdul Carter will be. He can single-handedly change your franchise if you have the right pieces in place. The Titans don't have all the pieces in place, but if they add a guy like Abdul Carter, I think they're setting themselves up for a decade of damn good play at that position. I'm talking about reminiscent of Javon Kearse, a guy that Javon only played here, I think, 5 years, and then he went and left for Philly, 6 years maybe, and went and left for Philly for a bigger contract. I think you can have that type of play, but for a longer period of time.
6-1-5.
I mean, look, you get that. And Chip from Mount Juliet on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com says, Carter is hurt. Not sure on that. Another hurt draft prospect. Milroe digressing at Bama. Athletic, but not strong for read and reacting. And that is kind of the knock on Milroe, that he can't read a defense.
Yeah, I get it.
You know? I answered truthfully on your scenario that I would, mainly because you'd be getting Carter. If I have my druthers, I would prefer somebody like a Jackson Dart or Will Howard, you know, in that scenario. I mean, Trevor has talked with Jared about getting Carter and Will Howard. Like that be, you know, the beef of your picks, mm-hmm. that you get those two. That to me would be a really good scenario.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Howard's right. ready, but I think he's a solid prospect that you can work on. The question is going to be, is Callahan going to be here long enough to see it through? And is he the right guy to develop a quarterback?
That's all a great question. I don't, you know, and the whole thing about with Travis Hunter, and I get that, he's really, really good. But if you work out Carter and he could be that guy you think could be disruptive, then you can go and get him, right? When's the last time a DB was taken first in the draft? I can't remember the last time. Was Keyshawn Johnson the last wide receiver taken first in the draft? I might be missing people along the line, but it doesn't happen all the time. I don't know. I just think that first, whoever you get first has to start on day one and contribute in a very, very positive and good manner immediately. You want the second rounder or whoever's second to come in and do the same thing. And you have the opportunity of that now. It's just there's a lot out there, and I don't know. I just trade back to me. I mean, the Raiders thing is intriguing to me.
I'd move back to 6. And look, if they're going to offer you Max Crosby, then I take that all day long. Otherwise, I'm getting 6, and I'm getting your first next year.
Yeah.
Plus others. Because here's the other thing that you got to think about in this scenario. Now, the Titans could be here too, but if you trade with a team like the Raiders or the Giants – maybe the Browns too. I mean, there's a really good chance you get there first next year. You're going to have a top 5 pick again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're that, and that's what Robinson did, you know, with his moving around when they had the number 1 pick back in 2016.
I think Vegas wants a splash. I think Brady wants a splash. I think Pete Carroll wants a splash. Trade number 1 and they'll take Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
And then now you're the talk of the NFL. You're the talk of the league. You got people going to your games. You are what it is. And Brady could say, hey, I'll work with Shedeur during the summer, which this whole Fox-Brady thing has to end at some point, I think.
The Jets are also open to trading the number 7 pick. By the way, Dr. Crane did the research. You remember this. 1956, Gary Glick was the DB drafted first overall. You
is that
remember,
the last one?
According to Dr. Crane.
Says.
Gary Glick.
Yeah. What a
the
guy.
Old alliteration, double G. Remember him?
Drunk G squared, baby.
Yeah, right? Wow. Yeah. That just doesn't happen.
He used to say, Glick this.
Oh, man. Who drafted Gary Glick in 56?
That's a great question. There weren't many teams back then, so.
Who got him? The Decatur Staleys?
I'm going to say the Giants. Oh, yeah, the Staleys. Those are good.
Or I'm going to say the Chicago Cardinals. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going Giants. He's going Cardinals.
Oh, Dr. Crane.
I will say this guy kind of looks like Chad Brinker a little bit.
Oh, God.
Maybe he is Chad Brinker in a time capsule.
Let's see. NFL and the AFL teams.
I'm going to find this before you
are. It was 56.
The Steelers.
Steelers.
Took Gary Glick in 56.
Yep. And then after that was the Washington Redskins, Baltimore Colts, and then San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, there was no AFL back then.
He won the AFL championship in 63 with the Chargers.
Gary Glick?
He did.
I mean, don't turn. I mean, he's what a something.
Guy.
Yeah,
yeah,
right?
He's something. What a guy.
Is Gary Glick still alive?
Gary Glick.
Or is he no longer with us?
He's no longer with us.
Passed away in 2015 at the ripe age of 84.
Gary Glick. See, on this show, you can say a lot of things like we're not good and we're stupid, but we'll give you some information that you probably do not need. And that's it with Gary Glick. Well, real quick.
The fans don't say that about us. Consultants and right. Other people might.
How tall is Gary Glick? At 5'8", 140, Gary Glick was wreaking havoc.
He was 6'2", 195.
Back then?
According to Wikipedia.
Ah, that's the same year that Johnny Majors should have won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
In 56. They gave it to Paul Horner.
That's the same year that one Elvis Aaron Presley hit the scene and played the Ed Sullivan Show.
What a year. 56, what a year. That was a good
year. Could only show him from the waist up.
That's the same year my mom graduated high school, 56, from Old West High School. And then 30 years later, her bloated son would graduate from McGavick. So time is an odd source.
We will continue this discussion. Would you take a scenario where you draft Abdul Carter, but you also get one of these quarterbacks, Jalen Milroe is who Joe threw out there. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
It depends on the situation. The places I've been, we've always had, older quarterbacks kind of mentor the younger quarterback. It's almost like another coach in the room for them just to kind of show them how to be a pro, teach them all the little things about protection and just how to study opponents. So, yeah, that would probably be a priority for us if we did end up drafting a quarterback.
Mike Borgonzi yesterday at the NFL Combine. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Wednesday. Look, I have often bought into that of, you bring in the veteran mentors the rookie or the young quarterback, and then you have your succession plan. That all sounds great. Here's the problem. Veteran don't want to help that kid out. Veteran's like, damn that kid. Like, I'm here to keep my job. Everybody was up in arms a few years ago when Ryan Tannehill was like, yeah, I'm not here to mentor Malik Willis. Like, it's like, well, how could he say that? And then, other athletes are like, well, yeah. I mean, I get it.
I was all on board with that. I'm not training to take my job. Now, right. If you got questions,
sure.
Hey, read the safety. Oh, that's covered too. Watch the linebacker. I mean, I'm all about that. But to sit down and go over everything, no, I'm not doing that. And then I heard Borgonzi say that, and I was like, there ain't a quarterback league going to do that.
Yeah.
Sit down.
But I do like the theory of – I mean, the more I think about this, the more, I am on board with you sign a quarterback in free agency or, however. I mean, I as much as I would sign up for Matt Stafford, I think he ends up in Vegas. I think that's where Stafford's going.
I don't think they'll let him go.
I think they will. I do. I think the Rams are blowing it up. And this will probably be McVay's last year. So I would, go get the veteran quarterback, whether it's Darnold or Cousins, or even though Terry Fontenot said yesterday that, oh, yeah, we expect Kirk to be here for a long time. Like, I'm like, okay, sure you do.
Yeah.
you're going to pay a backup that amount of money? Like, are we dumb?
He's not. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Kirk, so, where are you? Are you here today?
Yeah, Kirk. Hey, buddy.
Kirk, tell me five things you did this week in an email. Send it back in. At John Smith at AtlantaFalcons.NFL.com.
It seems to be the way of the world these days.
Five things you did this week.
How dare you ask me what I've done my job?
What? I'm taking the day off. I'm not sending you an email. Well, that's your third day off this week. Well?
Well, I never mind. We're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, right.
So, but I would be curious if that's kind of the thought. And Borgonzi has shown you, you know, he's kind of played the or put the tea leaves out there that, hey, you know, we might get a veteran and we might draft one as
so
well.
You're cool. Carter, say it's Milroe and a bridge quarterback?
Yeah.
I am too.
Yeah.
I am too.
Because here's the thing. If you, let's say you get Milroe in the fourth round, right? And he comes in or whatever, there's no pressure for him to be the guy. Like, you could very well.
No, I'm talking second round. If he's sitting there at second round, do you take him?
No.
Because I don't think he lasts past the second round.
I do. I think. Do you? I think he'll be like third or fourth
somebody
round.
Gets him. I don't. Somebody gets him.
I don't. I think he'll be third
that's
or fourth
round. It's a
little
wager right here.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. That's fine.
We'll figure something out.
Eurostone glove.
All right.
That's how we roll.
I can do that.
No, I mean, in this scenario, like if you're going to sign, you know, a guy off the street, whether it's Darnold, Cousins, I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, have talked themselves into that Sam Darnold's coming to Nashville. So if that's the case, that's not a bridge quarterback because you're going to sign him to a 4-year deal or whatever. I mean, he's your guy. It's Tannehill 2.0.
But Sam Darnold's coming here. You don't have Justin Jefferson. You don't have a great, really, head coach who knows the offense in that position, unlike Brian Callahan. You really think Darnold's going to do 90% of what he did last year? I don't.
I'm just saying what a lot of people are thinking or throwing out there. I'm not signing up for it necessarily. Because I still think he's Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, if you're okay with Tannehill 2.0, then fine. And that's not a shot at Tannehill, but it's like you got to know what you're getting.
And how much are you going to spend on Darnold? $40
million? Probably.
Why? Don't do that.
Probably. So I did find it interesting that Borgonzi said, you know, we've identified some guys that could be in free agency that we like. If we can get them, then that's what we're going to do. If not, we're not going to just sign someone at a position just to sign someone at a position, which I think they did last year.
All right. Would you be content with Carter, Milroe, and Browning, the quarterback from the Bengals? Isn't he a free agent this year?
No. He's still
another year?
Yeah.
Damn it.
He's a backup.
He did well when Burrow was out.
He's a backup. I don't think he's a starter.
Tell Rich Gannon that.
Okay. You got his number?
Somebody does. Rich Gannon was
actually, I think I have his number.
Rich Gannon was a backup and he got his opportunity.
Sure, but
when Browning was in,
I think Rich Gannon was an MVP. You saying Jake Browning is going to be an MVP?
Give me the opportunity. Did you know Rich Gannon when he was with the Vikings from what 88 to 92 was going to be an MVP for the Raiders? What we had no idea.
No,
we had no idea. That's the maturity level you come and you can understand the game. I don't know.
Wait,
I mean,
88 to 92.
Well, he might have been 87 to 92. He's with the Vikings.
And Rich then, Gannon?
Yeah.
He was playing in the Super Bowl in 2004.
2002 season, buddy.
2002, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was around forever. Rich Gannon, really? Look him up. He hung around forever. He didn't. What did Tim Hasselbeck say every year? Get out of the league, let all 32 teams tell you no. Then you can go about your life. Until all of them tell you no.
I'll be damned.
Where did he go after the Vikings?
Redskins for a year. Chiefs 95 to 98, and then the Raiders 99 to 04.
What years was he with the Vikings?
87 to 92.
See how many? Look, and look what happened. He's kind of kept hunging around. So maybe Darnold could be that way, but you also, Rich Gannon got to a place, he got there with Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden was a guy that kind of took him to the next level, got a very creative, psychotic offensive mind, and that's what you need to have. I don't think Brian Callahan is that. I think Kevin O'Connell is. For a certain extent, for the Vikings. But you just got to give these guys an opportunity. And look, it's 50-50. They're going to flame out. They're going to make it happen. You know, I wouldn't give up on Will Levis if I'm another team because he could get somewhere in 4 or 5 years. You just never know. By the way, I think the Dolphins trade for him, like a seventh round.
Yeah.
Would you be okay with that?
Yeah. I mean, I think you could get – I think a team would trade you a fifth.
For Will Levis?
Yeah.
No.
A fifth of Jack for Will.
No, I'll give you that.
No, I mean, I do. I think you could get a fifth or a sixth maybe, but I would try for that. But, I mean, you can't live in a world when you're out on a guy of, man, I don't want to trade him because what if he's good somewhere else? Like, you can't live like that. Like, if you're out on him, you're out on him. And I think they're out on him.
Quit fighting your mic, man. You sound worse than I am.
I'm like you.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But I'd be okay. Again, back to the Abdul Carter and Milroe or whoever that second quarterback is. I'm fine with that. That'd be – because, look, you'd go in and like, all right, we got a quarterback here. We got this defensive end. And then you sign one guy in free agency, maybe a Trey Smith or whatever. And you're not going to win the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah.
But you can start putting a foundation down. As my good friend Lyle Jones says, brick by brick.
Old Lyle. coming up next, the NFLPA released their NFL ownership grades. And I absolutely love this. Where is Amy Adams Strunk and the Tennessee Titans? We will tell you next. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
Telegram.
Project Arcturus couldn't have succeeded without you. This will get you a little closer to that dream of yours. It's not the Dallas Cowboys, but it's a start. Drop me a line if you're on the East Coast. Hank Scorpio. Oh, the Denver Broncos!
I think owning the Denver Broncos is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, explain to me why it isn't.
You just don't understand football, Marge.
A classic from The Simpsons. The football bounces off Elway's head. So great.
It's a great episode, man.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. The NFLPA has released their third annual iteration of their team report cards. And I find this to be fascinating. This survey compiled during the 2024 season included responses from almost 1,700 NFL players across all 32 teams. Basically, the survey takes into account 11 different categories within teams. They are treatment of families, food cafeteria, nutritionist, dietitian, the locker room, training staff, weight room, strength coaches, team travel, head coach, and the owner. What grade do you think the Tennessee Titans got?
I'll take a little mercy on them, a B.
What do you think, Dr. Crane?
A C.
They got a B.
Ah, Juju!
They got a B. Let's see. I have lost my list.
Well, but I think
a couple of notes on this.
Okay.
For the second straight year, the Minnesota Vikings came in second place. The Dolphins were first on this list. The Falcons, Raiders, and Chargers rounded out the top five. The bottom-ranked teams, the Steelers, were 28th, followed by the Jets, Browns, and Patriots. The Cardinals finished in last place after being 27th last year. The biggest improvements were the Falcons and Chargers. Atlanta went from 25th to 3rd this year. And the Chargers went from 30th to 5th because they have a new facility.
It's a nice facility. My thing with the Titans is when you're already down, nobody's going to kick you even more. It's like, all right, we'll just be nice and get the hell out of here.
The New York Jets, Woody Johnson, an F, dead last. Surprise you?
No, because, look, they kowtowed to Rodgers and all the BS he threw out there. No.
Yeah. Yep. Let's see. Or I guess the Cardinals were last. But let's see. The Tennessee Titans. I will give you the full report card. Treatment of families, a B+. Okay. Food dining area, a B+. Nutritionist, dietitian, also a B+. The locker room, C-. Training room, B-. Training staff, B. Weight room, B. Strength coaches, B+. Team travel, B. Head coach, A-. Ownership, B.
Is that it?
That's it.
And the last category, time spent filling this out, 6 seconds. It's what I would do. A B, 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 R, C, R, and A. A minus for Callahan because he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy.
What does Nick Sirianni get?
Look, you go from an a-hole to a nice guy.
Well, I want to see what Nick Sirianni gets in that poll.
Okay, hang on. I got
– okay.
Let me go back to it in just a second. But just to read you the overview, the Titans ranked 16th with sizable improvements in two key areas. The first was their treatment of players' families. The hiring of Ainsley Moore as Director of Player and Family Affairs helped boost their family treatment grade from a D-plus to a B-plus. They also saw their team travel grade jump from an F last year to a B this year. In prior years, players sat in smaller coach seats while the coaches and staff sat in first class. First-year head coach Brian Callahan flipped the seating chart, putting the players in first class and the coaches in coach. The most pressing issue remains the team's locker room, where players feel the space is too small and the lockers lack functionality. Well, because they've all come from these D1 programs that they get a freaking TV and a recliner in their locker.
Keep going. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, that's – yeah. Let's see. The Titans provide – treatment of families. The Titans provide daycare during home games. They are one of 10 teams that do not provide a family room during home games. Players rate the post-game family area a 7.89 out of 10, ranking them 12th out of 32 teams. The players feel their team frequently organizes family events, which is 8th out of 32 teams. The players are very complimentary of Ainsley Moore, the Director of Player and Family Affairs, who was hired last March. The Titans' grade in this category improved from D-plus to B-plus this year.
All right. Well, I mean, look, it's all pleasant and fine. It took him 5 seconds to fill that out. But the flipping of players to first class to let the coaches – look, that entire charter plane is first class. So now you're letting the players run the plane too? You're already letting them run the ship. You're already letting the franchise.
Well, would you like to hear what they say about the head coach?
Oh, I'm sure it's glowing.
98% of Titans players feel their head coach, Brian Callahan, is efficient with their time, a rank of 7 out of 32. The players feel that Callahan is highly receptive to locker room feedback on the team's needs, ranking him 14th of 32 head coaches in the league. Ownership. Owner Amy Adams Strunk's average rating for a perceived willingness to invest in the facilities is 8.35 out of 10 from Titans players, ranking 19 out of 32 owners in the league. The players feel that Strunk moderately contributes to a positive team culture, a rank of 18 of 32. The players feel that Strunk is committed to building a competitive team, a rank of 20 out of 32 owners.
Good Lord. I mean, come on. I mean, yeah, he listens to us, you know. What'd that get you? 3-14. You are a terrible franchise. You are a terrible head coach. That's a terrible program. But let's give glowing remarks. If that was a piece of paper, I would wad it up and throw it in the trash can.
Okay, so who are you asking? You were asking about Sirianni.
Yeah, who's the biggest jerk head coach in football? Is it Sirianni?
I mean some might say Vrabel.
He didn't coach last year.
No. Well, where are the Eagles?
I mean,
okay, here we go.
Dickey would have gotten an F, but they won a Super Bowl.
The Eagles ranked 22nd out of 32 in the overall rankings. The head coach got an A-.
Wow.
93% of Eagles players feel their head coach, Nick Sirianni, is efficient with their time, which is 19 of 32. The players feel that Sirianni is moderately receptive to locker room feedback on the team's needs, ranking him 18 of 32 head coaches in the league. Jeffrey Lurie got a B.
So he's in the second half of moderately listening to the player. I think that's all a nonsense poll that was filled out by players' wives.
I mean,
or girlfriends.
Maybe, but it's something worth talking about. All right, let's see.
Sure.
Head coach. I just want to look at all these rankings.
I wonder who got last.
That's what I'm trying to find. So the Bears ranked Eberflus with a C. Cleveland got a C. Jacksonville was a C. And Jackson. Let's see. Are there?
You sound like my mom reading my transcripts in high school.
I'm sorry.
See, my mother's a D. Oh, look, Joe, you got a B.
I mean, all these are good. Woody Johnson got an F. Dan Rooney, the Rooney's got a D. I'm surprised. I'm kind of surprised about that. Tampa Bay was a D plus. This is owners. C plus for the Giants. Kraft got a D, which I find interesting. Kansas City a C minus. So when we think, you know, the Haslam C plus, Cincinnati was a C, Carolina a D minus, I believe that. Arizona a D minus. So for the owners.
But no coaches lower than a C?
Yeah, not that I can tell.
Lord.
So I don't know who would have finished last.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't the Titans get an F for their like cafeteria last year?
I think it was travel.
Okay.
I think it was travel was that for last year.
God forbid you don't get to fly in a huge charter jet with food being thrown at you every 4 seconds.
So there's no Fs on it this year?
For the Titans?
No, just in general on any team?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay. About to say, if there are no Fs, then I'd really be...
Woody Johnson got an F.
Okay.
What are more Fs? Give us the Fs, man.
Treatment of families for the Jacksonville Jaguars, an F.
Get out of here! Bunch of losers, and your family is too.
Damn kids.
Johnny, did you go see your tutor today?
Jacksonville overall was 18th of 32. Let's see. Head coach was 31 out of 32. Shad Khan is 15 out of 32. Shad Khan got a B plus. I don't know what the hell they're looking at, but okay. Where do you think Andy Reid is? Is a grade
C,
A plus?
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Fact: Andy Reid is fourth out of 32.
Who's number one?
I'm trying to find it. They don't make this easy to look at.
All right.
So, but the Kansas City Chiefs 26 out of 32 overall.
I mean, it's just it's. Again, I think it was filled out by the players' wives in less than 30 seconds.
Well, it's interesting to talk about.
It is. I'm just saying we shouldn't put so much value on that. Remember when Steve Spurrier would do his votes for the college football poll, coaches 25?
Yeah.
And they said, you put so-and-so at eighth. He's like, hell, I haven't done that poll in 7 years. I'm not a graduate. One of my GAs filled that out. I was like, yeah,
Who said that?
Spurrier.
Oh, yeah.
When he was at South Carolina. He had no idea where a team was ranked, which was fine. So
Mike McCarthy got an A, and then he got basically didn't bring him back.
Exactly.
Good job, Jerry. Jerry got a B. Oh, what a time.
Oh, man.
We'll tell you what day it is and also celebrity birthdays. But if you want to go to see the Predators and the Jets tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena, be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. And you will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Winnipeg Jets tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. 7 o'clock puck drop. Caller number 3-615-737-1025. Birthdays and what day is it? Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game on this Wednesday. Heard this at Bridgestone Arena last night. Even though this is a little more 80s than 90s, but still works. For sure. A little Hulkster, Hulk Hogan. We get a winner for the tickets? Awesome. Well, congrats to them for winning the Preds tickets. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays. Presented by Jarrett Companies, Inc., above and beyond industry standards, electrical services, which is installations, inspections, upgrades, and replacements. Just visit them online at jarrettcompaniesinc.com.
All right, gentlemen, a little quick list here today, not too long. Carnival she Day. Said. Okay. Carnival Day is first.
Carnival Day, all right.
There is that. Let's see, for Pete's sake day, you know, the little, yeah, for
what,
Pete's sake.
Do they have like a picture of Pete Rose, Pete Davidson?
Just get a guy doing this.
Pete Barbuti. Pete
and Pete. Remember the show Pete and Pete?
I do not.
From Nickelodeon?
No, uh-uh.
That was a good one. The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
A lot of Peter talk going on. Let's
whoa.
See. Let's see. Inconvenience.
Excuse me?
Just saying, there's a lot of Peters on the – you saw talking Peter.
What in the hell? This is a kid show.
I'm just saying. They say it in football, too.
What or
you're returning
heck?
The punt return. They say, Peter, get away. Get away.
Well, I'd get if that you sit in a locker room, I'm getting away from that. What in the heck? We need to call Nani after the show.
You need to wash your mouth out with soap, young man.
I might just do that. I don't know. Let's see. wow.
Petered out.
Well, next one we have is National Personal Chef Day. Let's see, National Pistachio Day to go with that. Let's see, National Set a Good Example Day. Probably
you're not.
Yeah, probably not doing that. Let's see, Tell a Fairy Tale Day. And to wrap it up, we have a Thermos Bottle Day, a thermos.
Okay, good job.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, Personal Chef Day, is that right?
Yes, okay. Yes, sir.
Can I use the guy that I see at Burger King every day as my personal chef?
Why not?
All right. Thank Carl. You so much. His name is Benny.
Oh, Benny.
Thank you. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. You got to get these within two. First birthday, and I love this guy. I've got all of his albums, and I'm not ashamed to admit I love this guy. Michael Bolton. Today's his birthday. How old's Michael Bolton?
74.
70.
He's 72. That is a push, you two.
Tush push?
Don't know, which they're going to outlaw soon.
Probably.
And get rid of it. Singer Erykah Badu.
32.
38.
50
Foa.
Oh, wow.
Way off on that one. Yeah. Don't know who that is. Let's see if I know this girl here. She won a Grammy. Singer Natalia Lafourcade. Never heard of her, but she's popular.
I have a 4K TV.
Natalia Lafourcade.
41.
35.
She's 41 exactly.
I have no idea who she is.
Good Lord, man. Come on. Did you practice for this?
No.
All right. Oh, here we go. Here's a good one. The great actor director, Bill Duke. He was in Predator, the big bald headed black guy. Awesome actor, Bill Duke.
Yeah.
He's on all the Schwarzenegger movies.
67.
72.
82. Keyboard player Jonathan Cain of Journey, who lives here in Nashville.
74.
68.
75. Chase Strip 3, nada. Let's see here. Man, this is... Actor Alex Hartman. He's the samurai in Power Rangers. This is how bad it is.
72.
65.
All right, 35. You guys are close on that.
That's good.
I'm telling you, I'm not going to throw names out there I've never heard of. But another one, let's go with the drummer Chris Kulig of OAR.
Chris Kulig?
Same guy. Of OAR. OAR.
No idea. 52.
55.
46. All right, two birthdays, sports birthdays. JT Snow. JT Snow.
Who?
Baseball player. Oh. JT Snow. I think he played with the Angels.
57.
49.
He's 57. Chase up 5-0. This is insane.
Two people I don't
this
know.
This might be the worst birthday day ever. Last birthday is Marshall Faulk. How old's Marshall Faulk?
55.
53.
52. With that, Chase wins 5-1. Worst birthday day ever.
There you go. I know you want to take a moment here.
All right.
Kill the music.
You kill the music here. Listen, do we do a message every day about, you know, for guys out there to talk to each other and reach out to people that's going on? This past weekend, one of my best friends I grew up with killed himself. And I'm devastated, and I'm trying to keep it together because it's not about me, right? It's not about me. It's about you if you're going through something struggling. That's why we say the message every day, please talk to us. What's happening now is that our group of friends is left wondering what happened. What could we have done? And we move on without this guy in our lives that we grew up with. And so you go forward. Just know if you're in that bind, that situation, know what happens if you do that. You're hurting us, man, and we're going to miss this guy forever. And now we're left with the wondering, and what could we have done differently, and where are we missing? Where are we going wrong with this? And I'm mad at him, all right? I'm mad at him, and I'm mad at myself, and I'm mad at thus that we got to go through it, and he left family behind. And I'm mad, and I don't know what to do about it. And we send the message out every day, and we try to call 988, to call and text and reach out to people. I don't know if it's working or not. And I told a friend, I said, you know, it's, I don't know what through his mind. I don't know what's going on with him, but it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And now we'll never see him again. And we'll go through life and missing him and the laughter and growing up together. Talk to somebody. We don't say that to take up airtime. We truly mean it on this show. We mean it. The three of us mean this. Mental health is important. And I am crushed to the bone that this happened. So if you're out there and you're going through, and if I make you mad today and you want to call and yell at me, please do. I want you to do that. I'm sick of this. I'm tired of it. And I don't know if we're making a difference or not. I don't know. I don't think we are. And I pray to God every night that we're making a difference and we're going about this. So please know we're always here for you. Nobody's going to turn your phone call down ever. Nobody's going to say, hey, man, I'm busy. I call you back. We will drop everything to talk to you. We've done it before. We'll do it forever. We have to walk together on this. So I'm devastated. I'm crushed. I'm mad. I'm upset. But we go forward and we try to save the next one, and we will. Damn it, we'll save the next one. That's why we tell every single day we love you. More importantly, more than anything else, God loves you. Please, please know that. Please know that and know that we're always here for you. Thank you.
Well said. Sorry for your loss for sure. And look, he's right. Reach out. We're here for you. DVD next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.